roll call, please.
You want to do it or you want me to?
I think Nordigan? Supervisor Nordigan? Present. Supervisor Stocker?
Here.
Supervisor Stock?
Here.
Supervisor Belsky?
Here.
Supervisor Carroll?
Here.
Supervisor Thomas?
Here.
Youth and Governance, Maddie?
Here.
Tyler?
Here.
That covers it. You want me to do the staff members as well?
Everybody here.
Yeah, like everyone's here.
Dave's absent.
John Day is not going to be here, correct? And Kwame is here in place of Clement.
Okay. Do we have to be nice to him instead of Clement?
What? Just one more.
Just remember who paused. Oh, I don't know. You want to sit down? Okay, so I see there are some citizens in the audience. If any citizens have any comments, this would be the time. Or any citizens' comments? Any citizens' comments? Seeing no citizens' comments, citizens' comments is closed. Approval minutes from the previous meeting. Have an approval. Second. By Supervisor Steiger. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Chairman or committee members or supervisor, if you have comments, I guess I'll start it off. We had our monthly meeting prior to this meeting. I had with Shelley and Jim. Discussed a little bit what was going on. I've not brought anything up to anybody about some of the employment information. I don't know if that's even would even be allowed to be brought up at this time or at all for that matter. But what we talked about, you know, I think Jim, that was before you got in there, we were talking about some stuff. So there are some questions I know that supervisors are going to have, but one of the things we had a shed that collapsed at Veterans Park that we had been renting out, correct, Matt?
Correct.
Can you use a little, it's not in your report or anything, right?
No, that's more
just a little information on that. Just an older shed that we had rented to former Supervisor
Elverman. Correct.
So
the history backing into it is, there's a shed that's part of our service yard within Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. The service yard is for our parks operation that manages the 8 regional parks, more on the western side. Prior to us having that as our maintenance yard for park purposes, that was acquired comprehensively with the Western acquisition, which used to be the Powers Lake construction property. Once we took that over from the bank in approximately, I want to say 2011 or so, don't quote me on the date, the existing contract was already with between Elverman Landscaping and Powers Lake Construction. So that agreement, that lease agreement, or the rent agreement, not a lease agreement, that rental agreement, basically went to Kenosha County after Powers Lake Construction and the bank owned it. And we just had the same sort of financial agreement, annual agreement, renewal that happened to this date and still is in existence. The shed specifically that you asked about, Mr. Chairman, was in existence from back with Powers Lake Construction. So it's not really anything that Kenosha County has enhanced, has not built. And it was, in my mind, pretty dilapidated. It was only a matter of time before the thing basically fell on its own. So it wasn't storm damage. It wasn't because of, you know, wind, snowfall, rain, or anything else. It needed to come down, and Mother Nature, basically, the structure helped itself by coming down. So we used county resources in order to safely remove that so no one got hurt, including Dennis or his employees. So that is no longer in existence. And all that's left is basically the foundation concrete slab where he runs his operation and business. It's a landscaping business, so it pretty much dwindles down pretty low key right now. We just handle it annually. And I don't have the intention of replacing that shed because it's not really something that's advantageous to the county. It's more so just a legacy agreement between the two parties.
And Mr. Elverman is going to be moving all this stuff out then? There's no reason, there's no...
He still has materials on site. He has a skid steer, a truck. He did take some stuff that might need to be protected from the elements, per se. Yeah, anything like that he's taken off site or rearranged, but he still has a presence on our property.
Okay. And he's not planning on doing anything currently right now, just keeping everything out of it?
That's all I know. I didn't ask him as far as his future intent or if he can is able to continue without the shed. So we haven't had those types of discussions.
Okay, I'm sure. We are charging him rent now for a non-shed shed, if you will. Or
well, I think it was more of the leasing of the area.
Jim? Okay. He's paid through the end of December. He told me he was planning on not being there next year anyway.
Oh, okay. Anybody have any questions for Matt on that?
Just one. I'm just curious, can I have a copy of that rental agreement?
Sure. Okay, absolutely.
Shelley had asked to have a study for Kemper. Go ahead and get that done. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Matt about that yet. I wanted everyone on the board to hear it as well. I asked Shelley to get that study going on Kemper because that is money that we have available. It has nothing to do with budgets or capital improvements or anything like that. It's in the park fund already, correct?
Correct.
So we can get that going. Based on Shelby, put that together. Okay. I think anything else I have will come up during my meeting. I don't know if anyone else has any other supervisors. Supervisor Thomas?
Yeah, I just have one, and this is going to be a general question to different department heads. I know traditionally, my understanding was that a lot of the appeals for capital bonded projects would have already been in process. I'm not exactly sure when that's going to happen. Does anyone know what the unintended increase in costs might be, since a lot of these purchase orders might not be placed until after the first of the year? Were there quotes given to different people that expired at the end of 2022? I know a lot of things that I quote in business are good for only 60 days, 90 days, end of a year. So when you guys have your reports, if you're aware of anything like that, how that might change the projected capital expenditures for whatever projects that were submitted. I think that would be helpful for us to know.
What do you want to know?
Okay, I'll just give you an example. Say there's a window replacement and they got a quote in August and they said that quote was good through the end of the year. We might have a new price if we place that order after January 1st. And I'm just curious how many of these quotes that we've received expire at the end of the year, and we might have additional costs because we didn't place the purchase order in 2022.
Is that for operating costs or for CFP?
These would be bonded projects.
Jim, thanks again. So.
Are you talking about 22 projects?
No. I'm talking about the bonding that did not pass yet.
Mm-hmm.
For 2023.
We have no purchase orders for anything.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have quotes, though, because we based those projected numbers off something.
The budgets are based on the quotes, so we have those numbers.
I understand that. So what I'm asking is I know in some businesses, those quotes are only good for so many days or months. Right? I know when I personally quote things, they're good for 60 or 90 days at the most. If I don't get the order in that time, I have the ability to adjust my prices based upon me getting a price increase or whatever it might be, increased shipping costs, an assortment of things, surcharges on things. I'm just curious if we are going to experience any additional cost by this process being delayed for 2023.
Well, you're talking about 2022 projects, and the bonding is for 2023 projects. You're talking about two different sets.
No, he's asking about 2023 projects that we did.
No, he just said 2022 projects.
No, I didn't.
Stuff
I said things that were quoted in 2017.
So what he's saying is if we got a quote for Lee Plumbing to do a bathroom renovation in December that was $25,000 and the quote's only good for 60 days and we can't sign that in the 60 days due to bonding, could we expect a cost increase? Did I say that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll look at what I have. I made a note.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, if you don't have it, it would be helpful at some point to share it with the group, however that might be. Thank you.
Yep.
That's all I have.
trade-offs because we don't have a road crew doing road work. And I know that Clement was out speaking, trying to get the municipalities, see if they had road projects that we could do in order to prevent that from happening or prevent that amount of occurrence. Numbers I've heard were anywhere from 20 to 24 potential layoffs if we don't get. Is that about right? I mean, Jenna, it's about right. So that's an area of concern, I think, going forward. But I just wanted to bring that up. Okay.
Chair, what would be the timeline for the layoffs? Would we be able to go through the winter?
Yeah, we'd get through the winter.
My understanding.
And paving doesn't happen until April, probably at the earliest. The plants aren't open, asphalt plants.
So, yeah. Just so that I understand, so the asphalt layers, we do our own asphalt, majority of it. And when they're not laying asphalt, they're working the roads, correct? Okay. So that's why it would go be pushed out through April when the asphalt work would start. Because we don't have the bonding. We don't have the road work. So we're dealing with the bonding for asphalt and operating budget for snow plowing. So they kind of overlap. So we're using the same people in different seasons for different things. Okay.
Well, the reason it's April is because the plants that manufacture the asphalt that we use for paving aren't open until that point in time.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to be clear on it.
Yes.
Chairman Nuno? Well, I just wanted to add, I think it's a little more complicated than that. Because if it's, we don't get the bonding resolved, there's a lot of, someone would say, for instance, the projects, people that work on the projects that are going to be coming up later on in the year, well, we're not going to need them. And of course, we're not going to pay anybody unless we're going to do the projects. Even with the snow removal, I was going to wait until we got into the meeting itself, let's say for parks. You know, we still, I believe we do the, we do the plowing for the parks ourselves, right?
Correct.
Okay, so maybe, and please don't quote me on that, but these are all things that we're looking at right now. Since it's not really essential, we want to try to save the money on the plowing and maybe close the parks for the winter since they're not really used. So these are all options. So if we say, well, we got time to do this, we got time to do that, it's not necessarily so. And even with some of the project that was going to get paid with the levy money or from different amounts, for instance, like the Kemper Center, the $50,000, those are things that might go away too, because we might need the money to use for emergencies. Just as an example, you know, nothing else. We always talk about body cams, that something must be done, so we're going to need it. I know Joint Services, they need some, computers, whatever they are, that they needed to make payroll, so we're going to need that. So we might have to take some of the money to do other stuff. So nothing is accounted right now. And administration, finance, they're working on it. Come up with a couple things that I need questions. And Joe Cardamone was going, I thought he was coming back today, but he's not going to come back until tomorrow, you know, to go through that. And I set a meeting for the 15th of May, which is the executive committee, and basically that's what we're going to do.
May
or December?
Oh, December.
December, okay.
Okay, so.
You must be going to
May. That was the main reason, basically, to set the meeting, to talk and see, hopefully, when I say finance administration, basically they will come up and give us a list with priorities on what we can do, because we got some money left from last year that can be used.
Is that carryover money?
It's carryover. Jim can probably answer better than me at that. Yeah, it's some money we have. I don't really know the exact number.
There's carryover money, then there's about $3 million of bonded money that wasn't assigned to projects. That's left over. So there's two kinds of money. But what was the resolution?
I believe it's 5.4 million. Some like, don't quote me on the numbers. I mean, I didn't bring them with me, but it's roughly 5.4 million. So one of the big tasks right now is trying to come up and say, well, this money that we have, what can we use it for?
Prioritize.
And number one, it might be, and please don't quote me on any of this, just for example, and I keep on using the same thing, we're going to do something in Brookside. That's a priority, I would think. You know, body cans and everything. So that's where we're at. And with the layoffs, I don't know when it's going to be, because it's not just the work will be done in April or May, but there is a lot of things that needs to be done prior to that, get us to the point, and if we don't have the ability to do it later on, I don't think there is any need to spend the money to give the people to do it. I mean, it's
so if just to be clear, so we're looking at CIP or bonding carryover money, and we're looking at the operating budget, the budget that we already approved. So would the budget, the operating budget that was approved, will that have to come back before the board with the changes?
No.
No?
Not the budget that was approved with levy money, basically.
Yeah.
No, that is,
so that's not impacted?
Levy's money.
It could be. Let me put it that way. It could be. I believe it might need a budget modification with a resolution and say we use this $10,000 from Tom, and we spend the $10,000 to Jim. You know, something like that. That could be done. That's why everything is kind of up in the air
and
right now.
There's all kinds of rules that are established. If it's okay, there's all kinds of rules that of how much you can spend at the budget. If you're going over in a certain appropriation, you have to go get budget mods. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to move money from one department to another, there's budget mods. Mm-hmm. So the money could be moved around, or you might have to ask for more and take it away from something less, or just ask for more some other way other than just, you know, they're not going to change the tax levy.
So the budget would need to come back in some form to the
company. In some modification,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I said before that we're working with administration, the priority, working with finance, that can be done. And also now I have, we're trying to work on that, but I do have quite a few questions with legal questions with Joey was going now, and tried to work on that. Hopefully by the 15th, unless somehow we resolve this prior to that, which that would be great. So then we can.
And if I could, are you looking at the options that were submitted to you by the members of the county board that voted no for CIP?
Those are not options. Really, those are not options for many reasons. And I can go in details once we go to 15. Those are not options, really. They were just something that, they just wanted to scribble something and put their name up like they're doing something. There was some other trying to do some compromises in that, which we worked on huge compromises. They don't want to do it. Oh, they want us to what? They don't want to tell us what they want. I said,
okay,
we're going to be able to put it to what you said that you wanted. Are you guys going to vote on that? You know, I didn't talk to all of them. I talked just to a couple of people. And they're in the words, we'll see it then. So basically, they don't want to do anything. The reason they're doing it, I don't know. They're not telling us any reasons.
Okay. Yeah, just a quick question. You said the layoffs wouldn't happen until the spring. In a normal year, what are our road workers doing in between plowing in that winter season? Can we keep them employed 40 hours all winter long, or what's the typical workload like?
If they're employed full-time all year. What's happened is that some of the operational dollars for their salaries gets rolled into the capital improvement program. So for the work that they do resurfacing roads, correct me if I'm wrong, gets rolled into that. So therefore our operational dollars aren't there for their salaries for the entire year.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. That's what's getting impacted.
But over the winter, in between snowfalls, they're working on projects?
They're working on operational maintenance projects, correct.
Okay.
Everything other than resurface.
Got it. All right, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, I don't see no other questions. We'll put Matt on the hot seat. Matt Collins.
What's that?
Well, then you'll be able to ask him.
All right. Sure. Thank you, Mr.
Anything
Chair.
You'd like to add? I know we were talking about park fees, so.
Yeah, we'll tackle that one if you're okay with the park
yes.
fees first. So every year in November, December, we bring forward to the Public Works Committee. This is only on a committee level that we seek approval of the proposed fees for parks and park use. This does not need to go to the full board. It's exclusively voted on through our Public Works Committee. So there's kind of a cheat sheet of the current rates versus the proposed rates. The only thing that we are proposing to be changed from last year to this year is in regards to Silver Lake Park Beach. We do require admission between Memorial Day and Labor Day for anyone that enters Silver Lake Park Beach to utilize that beach area. And therefore, we get obviously revenue through that to help pay for other services through Silver Lake and beyond. We did notice, based on our POS, that there was approximately 445 walk-ins. Being only a dollar, we feel that it would be more appropriate to change that from $1 to $5, so people aren't basically trying to park somewhere else and then walk in for especially a very small percentage based on what their vehicle count would be. So we wanted to make sure that we nip that in the bud and increase that from $1 to $5 for individuals.
Go through that again, Matt. So what's that? So we have the beach there, and you have to pay to go to the beach.
Yes, that is correct, just for the beach. All of Silver Lake beyond the beach is free to the general public. So when you enter Silver Lake Park, you get the option of around five or so parking lots. The beach area has its own exclusive parking lot, and there's a fee booth right at the entranceway where we actually have a seasonal personnel collecting fees either for resident or non-resident, which you kind of see in that itemized category. You can buy an annual pass, you can pay per vehicle, and you have to show proof of residency of being a Kenosha County resident in order to enter, and that's again from Memorial Day through to Labor Day. So with those different options available, either per day or an annual pass, one thing that individuals can do is walk in. So either if they're getting dropped off by mom and dad and it's a bunch of kids that go in there, or someone on their bicycle that enters the beach area. Historically, that's been $1. I don't think that's changed for a very long time. But during the pandemic, we actually increased rates. It used to be $25 for the first year of the pandemic for non-residents and only $5. Well, we got kind of shut that down because of DNR, based on our grants that we received for the park, said it can only be basically 50% more from resident to non-resident. One thing that we did not take into account, because there's no differential of resident to non-resident, because historically it's been kids that enter on bikes or in person, is the $1. But now what we found is in the increase, especially on the non-resident fee, they're parking in another parking lot and then walking in for a dollar per person versus the $20 that would cost them to enter the park. So we saw a dramatic increase in amount of walk-ins last year. We feel that in order to be fair and for people to utilize the beach and those services, we want to increase that to make sure that they weren't trying to circumvent the system.
Did you have a question?
I did. I was very confused about that, because I thought I have a hard time walking as it is, and now you're going to charge me $5 to walk the trails? I think it just needs some clarity, because I didn't read it as the beach only. You know, I viewed it as if I wanted to go walk up through the trails.
On this one,
yeah,
it says a Silver Lake beach access only.
Okay.
So if we want, we can try to figure out different terminology other than beach access.
No, that's all right. If it says beach access, because I just read it like overall.
Yeah, so this would be the one that would be published. The cheat sheet was more so just for the committee, just to see the differential between the 2 years. So this would not be something that would be public, and it doesn't have the proper...
That's the one I was looking at. I
completely understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, please don't charge me $5 to walk.
No, most of our parks, as you know, don't have admission unless it's like a dog park or you put on a special event.
Right.
Or it's more specifically, historically, the beach area. So this is pretty much status quo, except for that one line item, the $1 to $5 change.
Okay, thank you.
How long? I do remember the fee hut used to be at the entrance. How long ago was it moved, and why?
you probably saw the fee booth at the entrance, and there used to be two separate fee booths that were pretty dilapidated. So in 2016, we basically rebuilt a new one by the Silver Lake Beach, and we did that in-house to kind of just upgrade it and make it aesthetically more pleasing. The only time that the one at the entrance of Silver Lake Park that was technically used was for 4th of July when we charged everyone to enter that park. So it really was only utilized twice out of the year, and it did not look good. It's not a good first approach when you enter the park to see this fee booth. So we removed that completely, and we just basically operate out of the back of our vehicle when we're actually charging at the entranceway on that 4th of July at Silver Lake.
Can you get the dog park permit at the where you pay to go in and park for the beach?
Yes.
Okay. I know I talked to you about this before. You had given me up. Do you have any update on the web payments for dog parks and all these other fees? Because I think we're missing out on a lot of opportunities for income by not having that option available for things like our dog parks and other services where people are visiting but not paying just because they don't have cash on them.
Absolutely. No, that's a great idea. So Supervisor Stock brought up a good idea. Now that we have the technology to do more of a QR code that just makes payment a lot easier once you're in person, being at the dog parks with our three off-leash dog exercise areas. And hopefully in the future we can branch out to like our boat launches or any of these other fee-based entry points that have historically been old school, handwriting it out, put your money in and hope that they actually pay and not just put 2 cents in there at best, right? So we are working with our IT department, and we already have the software behind the scenes through the same, it's called Swipe Simple, that we use for our POS system for the beach. So it should be a pretty quick and seamless process that we're just working on some of the nuances. So I asked for an update with our IT. They're working on it actively with this. So I guess not trying to promise a date, but hopefully by the end of the year, we're in pretty good shape to launch that.
Matt, I understand the intention is to deter filling up other parking lots and walking into the beach parking lot, but did I hear it right that there was 445 either walk-in or bike-ins last year? So you're looking to increase at $4, so you're roughly talking $1,800 or something like that. What are the fees that we charge for the Silver Lake Beach access go to? What is the cost? What is the cost, the offsetting cost?
Historically, it's always been to offset beach operations, but realistically how the budget works is it goes towards the levy of parks in our operations. So the more revenue we get there, the less we have to have from taxable levies. So more revenue equals less taxing that we have to have overall. So it's not like a separate line item, but historically, if and I hope to get lifeguards back, some of those extra personnel costs that would go into those things would help out with offsetting the personnel costs from the seasonal staff or anyone else that operates out of there with charging admission.
Okay, so it's basically maintaining the beach. The whole idea behind it is to maintain the beach area, and because during heavy use in the summer, it probably requires a lot of additional effort and maintenance to
absolutely
clean it. And I'm just wondering if, is this going to help? I mean, obviously it would offset that cost, but do the fees that we charge, do they cover the cost of operating the beach?
I would say historically yes, especially when we did have lifeguards, that the revenue that we've been able to generate help pay for that seasonal staff budget for Silver Lake Park, because you're right, it's lifeguards, it's maintenance as far as operation, the beach manager, assistant beach manager. So there is a robustness of staff that's needed to operate the daily activities of that beach. So yes, the revenue definitely goes up as a support.
And I'm just trying to understand, if we're not changing any of the other fees, does it make sense to do the fees that you currently charge, currently cover the cost of operating that park? It's kind of my bigger overall question of, are we leaving all of those alone and just really trying to focus on deterring the I don't know what you would call it, the people that are looking to find the loophole in the system?
Yeah, I do believe we don't want to increase any more than what we have, because there's always that tipping point where people don't go to the beach based on
how much it costs. But we had a major increase 2 years ago.
Correct. And that was the first increase that we had for, I think, well over 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I think that we made that robust change to be more current with our fee structure. And then one of those lessons learned, I think, is the $1 thing, just to kind of clean that up. So I feel that's more of a housekeeping item, just to keep people honest. And if you're going to go to the beach, go to the beach and not try to circumvent the system.
So with this, we're charging them $10 per vehicle if it was a resident, say, and that's for however many people can fit in that vehicle. But now if I park outside and walk in, is each person going to have to pay $5, or is it going to be $5 per group that was in that vehicle?
No, per person it would be.
And does the parking ever overflow to where people are forced to park outside of the...
The major one will be 4th of July, but that's when we charge at the entrance point. I think last year we had one instance where it went to the overflow, but with the technology we have, we should be able to take that POS system and actually charge based on a different remote location, if that makes sense, using the cellular signal. So it's like we basically change our operations from maybe a fee booth to go into a like a what we call a double overflow outside of the beach area to still charge that admission.
And then what is the age? Because I'm thinking families with kids walking in, what's the age, what's the cost, or how many are you charging for the three-year-old, or are you charging for just the...
It'd be per person.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay. Correct.
Excuse me, would there be a change in fees if the original parking lot got full and now you're off-site, these people have to walk further? Are they going to get a little bit of a discount of some sort?
It's not built into that structure. Again, it's pretty rare. Again, if it's outside of 4th of July, it's like a blue moon that it hardly ever happens, because we have the paved parking lot. And then where the grass area is considered the ball field. We can fit quite a number of vehicles still within that area, would be considered the beach area within the fee booth. So to go outside of that, it very rarely happens. And it's usually like on those days that we're charging at the entrance anyway.
Tim will be looking forward to jump into the lake. So
I'm just thinking if I had to pay, say, that somebody parked it closer, that'd be a little unhappy. So,
yeah. It's kind of like the state fair or the county fair or any of those things.
Now, I know there's no other county beaches. Are there any municipal beaches? I know
Old Settlers Park, we do have a beach there.
Oh, sorry.
Old Settlers Park, so Paddock Lake.
Yeah, we charge for that?
We do not charge at that one.
Okay. Where are there other municipalities that are charging outside? I know Lake Geneva does. It's got to be at least $10 a person to walk in.
Yeah, it's up there. And that's per person they do charge at Lake Geneva.
And we're seeing at the quarry they charge.
And North Point, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Do we need to take a vote on this?
Yes, please.
Yes. Okay. Can I hear a motion to increase the 2023 park entrance fees specifically to Silver Lake Park Beach from $1 to $5?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Supervisor Carroll. Any discussion? Okay, see no discussion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification. Was that to approve just the one item or all park fees going to 2023?
That's a good point. It should be all park fees on. What I'd like to do now is just do a second for all the park fees. Nothing else changed, though, in the park fees, right?
That was the only recommended change.
Yeah, right. So,
the non-resident parking and any resident parking went up? $20?
Oh.
Annual non-resident parking per vehicle went up 40.
This might, I apologize, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness on this one. None of the other rates should have changed on for the proposed rates for the 100 for the annual non-resident parking, where you see that. I do apologize. I must have had a typo internally. That was never intended to be increased. So that was going to stay at the original current rate of the $60. And same thing below that with the annual parking for resident to stay at 30. So that was my mistake. While I was half on vacation, I sent in the wrong one. So I am not changing, I'm not requesting to change any other proposed rate.
So the motion was only, that we approved was only for bicycle slash walking. So then I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the Silver Lake Park entry fees as the 2023 season, which will be the same as the 2022 season with the exception of the bicycle walking that was raised to $5 in the previous motion that was approved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Okay, any discussion?
You need all of them.
All right. Youth and governance, how would you vote on that? Oh, hold on.
Can we approve it as amended?
I think what they're saying is there's Silver Lake Beach Park, but then there's off-leash dog, there's pavilion restaurants, there's specially designated
park entry.
So we need to do approval of the 2023 park fees to keep them all the same.
Changes proposed. Okay. So can I amend the motion to...
It's not. You can just restate it.
We can just restate it because we can't get any further than that.
All right. Let me restate the motion to approve the Parks Division proposed 2023 fees for the dog park, pavilion fee, and special event fee with the increase for the to $5 for the bicycle slash walking at Silver Lake Park.
Beach. Does that work?
Does that make sense?
Yes.
For a second.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Further discussion? See no discussion. Youth and governance, how do you vote on that?
Aye.
Okay. Supervisors, how do you vote?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, now your division report. Any changes from the report that you put together? Any updates?
I'm going to send this around. It's just a Pringle Nature Center report. I don't think it was included in the packet, so I just made hard copies just for reading pleasure on that one. One point just to clarify a little bit more on the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park Restroom Pavilion and Memorial Shelter. Just to go into a little bit more information on that aesthetic concerns with the concrete. We did specifically ask with this project that the concrete itself for the main structure on both faces, the back side as well as the front face, had an aesthetic appeal to it that was a rough sawn timber that they actually use a form liner to press against the concrete in order to have almost like the wood grains exposed and showing on the restroom facility. When the contractor peeled off that form liner after they did their main pours, we found that there was an increased amount, more than anyone wanted, of air pockets, or what they call bug holes, on the face of the concrete. So we kind of hit the timeout button because the county, we didn't want to make sure that there was long-term implications of what that meant. Potentially structurally, we're not leaning that's a structural issue at this time, but we're still having that investigated. But more so that even if you patch these air pockets or bug holes, that we don't have these pop-outs happen in the future, and we still want to make sure that since we've paid so much money, even Camozzi, the contractor, feels that we want to make sure that this is a quality product at the end of the day. So we're working alongside Camozzi, the general contractor on this, Kenosha County, a third party, I'm going to call them forensic specialist that deals with concrete issues like this, to figure out what the best option is moving forward. So again, our schedule has been delayed, but in the long range of things, I still think it's in our best interest to sort this part out before we move on, because we don't want to start ripping other things down in order to modify it in the future. So we're hoping for this report back from the third party that'll give a certain amount of recommendations as far as how to deal with it with the existing structure. But same thing, we still have to pour concrete down for the Army shelter as well. So whatever they choose to do, we need to figure out the best methodology for pouring this concrete to have the aesthetic appeal with minimizing any manipulation. Because anytime you start to manipulate things after the fact, that's what raises concerns to us, because we're going to be on the hook long term for this. So we don't have any answers. Hopefully the next committee meeting will have something in addition to that report. But want to make sure we clarify that, because you're seeing a project kind of at a standstill right now. But wanted to further explain the reason why. So hopefully we want to keep on working with the contractor. They're working with us to resolve this long term. So that's one point I wanted to clarify.
Right.
So I got a question.
Go ahead.
So does this delay essentially stop the project for now until through over the winter season, so we're really not going to see any activity on it until next spring?
Potentially. They have a precast roof that's already ready to go, and they're chomping at the bit to get that roof structure on. Weather? Don't know. They might be able to do an additional pour of concrete if they can do it safely and they can blanket it as far as the floor slab on that. But we're not willing to allow them to do those next steps until we feel comfortable with the solution for the existing concrete. So we still might see some stuff happen over the winter depending on weather conditions. But realistically, the completion probably won't be till spring of next year for the total project.
Okay. Real quick on the timeline then, when was the pour done, discovered? Was about a month ago or something?
I would say earlier in October or so, yeah. Or I'd say maybe the second week of October. Yeah, second week of October.
When you would expect a resolution from the third party?
So I reached out to Kamozi this morning, and they still haven't received the report. They were supposed to receive it on Wednesday of last week. So we're hoping, sooner than later, because it's already been due by the third party.
Okay. And is that an additional cost to the project now?
No, that's all on the contractor.
Okay.
I have another question.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure I understand. So the product we have is not what we specified, and now they're trying to find a way to repair it after the fact?
That's one of the options, potentially.
So is the other option just to tear it down and do it the right way again, or to do it the right way how it was supposed to be done, and thus not have to modify it with no long-term, like a warranty associated with it, because they'll be experimenting on trying to correct a problem that they created?
I would say it's all on the table right now. We've had that level of discussion of tear it down. And of course, from a contractor standpoint, you're talking about $100,000 right there, to be honest. So they're going to be fighting their reason and purpose. And we have to fight for what's in the best interest of our taxpayers long term, because this is a long term building. So that's why we wanted to mitigate this through a third party that is unbiased to the contractor or even the county. That is there a product that we can have that same aesthetic appeal that we wanted that won't have, like you say, a long-term effect on our maintenance moving forward? And that's what we're waiting to find out.
This reminds me of the Velodrome, just saying. To some extent, they poured it and it started cracking as soon as they got done pouring it.
Different circumstances.
Oh, no, I'm saying different circumstances, but we're still dealing with a similar type of product and everything. You know, I'm just saying it's...
Well, I would say...
I'm not saying it's identical. I'm just saying it's similar. It rings a bell on both sides of my head.
Not knowing the products that were used, if they were per specifications or not, but when you start to get to aesthetic concretes, you've got to really be careful, because any change in the mix design, or if it wasn't quite the right one, that can cause issues. And I think that the right thing to do is what they're doing is finding out what the root cause is, because essentially they could tear it down, put it right back up with the forms, follow the specifications, and do everything just so, and end up with the same result.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're probably trying to avoid, is saying, hey, we could even do all that stuff and still end up with the same problem again. Yeah. So let's figure out what the problem is and then move forward.
Yeah. No, it sounds like the edge going down the right path.
Though. In every project, I mean, this is obviously there's a lot of new committee members, but a lot of our projects have hiccups and bumps, but we try to work through those things because, yes, we do operate at a very high level, but there are a lot of projects where you have these challenges, and we want to communicate that to the committee to make sure that we're very transparent, and it's our jobs how to resolve that in the best interest of the county, and that's what we're working towards right now.
Good deal. Another question? Matt, anything else you want to bring up on your report that we're not seeing?
I think you guys heard enough from me.
Does anybody have any more questions for Matt about Zach?
I'm excited about the Bristolwood Park accessible wheelchair. What's the time frame on that?
I am meeting with Pringle Nature Center tomorrow to work on the details. So it looks like the third party, basically people that rent out the wheelchair, they approved our the Pringles pre-application, because I'm letting them take ownership of this, then we don't have to be a third party renting it out and having staff there and all that good stuff. And Pringle Nature Center has been a great partner. They've been on board with this. But now I want to meet with Pringle to make sure that I understand the kind of the logistics of their day-to-day operation. It might not fit inside the doorway, so I need to figure out that as far as where it's going to be staged, how you're going to plug it in. But those are small little details that we just need to work out in order to get to that next step of actually trying out that wheelchair.
And is this something, if it's run through Pringle, is this something that was potentially going to be made available to other county parks, or were we just talking further down the road?
No, I think that'll be all, not only county parks, but hopefully state parks and beyond. If they allow that type of mobility wheelchair vehicle, I know that we would welcome it in Kenosha County Parks, but I'm hopeful that if the other entities, you know, state or city or township or village, that they could utilize that on their terrain too. So you rent it out maybe specifically through Pringle Nature Center, but it has a trailer unit that you could, if you got the hitch, you take it and go, and you bring it back when you're done.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Pretty sweet. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really, the only updates to the report is under KCAP security modifications. I was able to get the warranties and the closeout docs from the contractor, and we're trying to get the replacement panes of bolt-resistant glass replaced next week. So that's the only update.
That's under the KCAP?
So. Yes, KCAP security modifications.
Any questions for Frank?
How did we find those to be connected?
Two of them three floors, lower level, first floor, and second floor. On the first floor, one of them had like a light frosting to it. And it, of course, it was right at, right where you'd be talking to somebody, and you would clean it, it would go away, and it would slowly come back 5-10 minutes later. So we'd clean it again, and it came back, and so that was that one. The one on the lower floor, it's layers of polycarbonate together that helps make it bullet resistant, sort of like a telephone book, right? You know, all the pages of the telephone book. And in those layers, they had a sliver of when they trimmed something that got caught between them that was in it. And it had a little nick to it. So when we brought the contractors in and showed them, it's like, you know, we paid a lot of money for this. You know, we want it to look, we did not want it to look like, we wanted to look nice and as open as could be, and we paid a lot of money for it, and it wasn't right, and they agreed. So they agreed to replace the two. And I said, how often has this happened? And he goes, in 20 years, it's never happened, so. But he stood up once we showed him, and he agreed to change it. So we're, knock on wood, those two come in, and we'll be able to wrap it up.
Maybe it's because you're so observant, so thank you.
You're welcome. We do. We trade. We paid a lot of money for it, and it's really the front face for the public coming in. That's usually where they interact with the county. So we, even Terry Jacobson, we were worried making a bullet-resistant situation that wouldn't feel like going to a jail or something like that. So we really worked with the different options instead of, you know, a speaker where you're going in, you know, like this, or even at the PSB when they did that, when they did the addition, they have a hard time hearing back and forth, and you know, then you have to go to an electric speaker. What we found out through our research was the opening they have is very narrow, and that really impeded the sound. So we went to a larger opening, really didn't cost any different. It was a larger opening, and that really helps the sound transfer through, and they haven't had a problem at all. So it's really worked well. In fact, Terry Jacobson, who's traveled the world looking at architecture and buildings and churches, she said it really fits. It's kind of Art Deco-ish with that kind of, so it really does not kind of impede that interaction with the public, and still gives them a fantastic bullet-resistant rating.
Wonderful.
And when do they think they'll have that
Next week.
Next week, okay. And we'll be pretty much done with...
That's it. That's it.
Okay, perfect. Any other questions for Frank? Okay. Thanks, Frank. And glasses. Our substitute for Clement Kwame.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No changes to the report at all, so I'm just basically here to answer other specific questions throughout the project. Most of the projects are basically wrapping up for winter, so Kay is the only one that's sort of kind of hanging around a little bit at the CP Railroad. Just for that might do that railroad and moving that little shack of a house next to that railroad so we can put the trail through and make the rest of it. So.
One of the questions I had about that was the railroad asked for those soil samples in order to do whatever they have to do in order to do what we have to do. Did the soil samples, all that come back okay? Did they get that report back?
The report, yep. So the report is being reviewed by the third party.
Okay.
We're currently working with the railroad. They actually gave us the permit to do the work. Just last week before Clement left, they called him to schedule the flaggers, the flag wells. So that's moving along now.
Okay.
We're hoping to get all that done through the winter, so come next spring, we can get out there and do
the rest of it all. Yeah, sure. A lot of people happy.
Yeah.
Currently not. Q and U is supposed to be wrapped up them today because they were just doing markings today. Do we know if that is wrapped up today? Can I go that way tomorrow morning or should I still go around?
You should be able to go there tomorrow.
Okay.
I actually just talked to Doug about that and he mentioned that they should be finishing up today. Who's going to go that route and make sure that was done and then give me an update. So I believe by tomorrow morning they should be all done.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll actually drive that direction on my way in tomorrow from that.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Everybody else have anything on the roads?
Yeah, on the Kay project, it's been so nice having Kay open, driving west of the yard. It's been like wow, took this for granted all this time. The railroad crossing that's still under construction on the site, I noticed that's still quite a bit rough driving over it compared to the other one. I don't know the names of the road. I don't know which one's which. But is that going to be graded and smooth by the time it's all said and done? Because it is pretty rough going over it.
Yep. So okay. That's part of the project. They never replaced that surface.
Okay.
So that might have a closure, mm-hmm. but we'll work through that.
Okay. And then I see that for the State Highway 50 project, it has been rescheduled to the summer 2023. How far are they planning on getting this year? Because I know they're still working on like the 75th and Cooper, 75th and 60th Avenue. Those, are they going to at least get those major intersections done by the end of this year? Or what's their stopping point?
I am not 100% sure on that, so I might have to reach out to, because that's a state project, basically.
We did get an email update.
We did.
Yeah,
okay.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, but I can get you more information on that. Thanks.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Kwame.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Sturino. Facilities. Anything to add?
No updates to the report. I know it's been kind of the same report for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Kind of waiting on equipment to arrive. We're starting the kind of the closeout process on the KKF e-pump project, so there's some movement on that. But other than that, no, we're kind of still at a standstill on the other two. And, no updates from the report.
Okay. Any questions for Matt on this? Seem to always get the easiest ones, man. We'll have to see what we can do about that. I'm thinking we have Dan with golf.
I don't have really any updates except for the holiday sale started today. So, you know, we're hoping that many people step out at Brightondale and take advantage of all of our sales. We've got great apparel and equipment. So we did have some people coming through today, so that was great. Simulators are up and running. They haven't been overly busy until this point, but now our winter league starts this week, so we're looking hopefully to get at least 40 people, which should be like an 8-person increase over last year. So yeah, we're everything's going well. Simulators are fun to play, so anybody want to come out and try them out?
They're two simulators?
Yep.
Brightondale. There you go. Road tripping.
I don't have to pay $5 to walk. I can just
walk. $22.50 a half an hour.
I couldn't help myself.
I have a car for
you. No,
I have to get the park farther away. The car's $3 though.
Okay. Any questions for Dan? Anything? Some burning in your soul that you want to ask him about anything? Okay, thank you, Dan. And I think we're going to end up with Shelley. Services relocation renovation
updates. So I want to give a little update on human services. We're about 95% on the plans. I'm going to pass around. We do have the first floor and second floor layouts as they stand today. We just were emailed those Friday when we were off. So those are the current layouts for the first and second floor. You can see there's some storage areas, so we have room to grow on both the first and second floor as of today's version of floor plans. I can send out that to the whole board, Public Works Board, if you'd like to see that, so I can share those. I also have the renderings as they stand for today. These have changed quite dramatically since the last version, so I'm sure there's going to be comments coming on the renderings, these renderings that I'm forwarding you, as those were kind of the first time the committee that is reviewing the plans as well as the county on seeing that version of the building. So there has been some dramatic exterior changes, so there may be more comments on that. As of right now, we are looking to submit in early December to the city for their plan commission meeting in January. I was told today that's still our tentative schedule. So we are moving forward with this project, and hopefully in the next couple of months, you will see that at 100% where they go out and actually get the cost estimating for what their original their process of bidding that project will be.
I thought it had a taller elevation.
I think the last rendering did on what would be the second story face. It kind of blended more in. This one kind of gives it that big version in the front, big vertical walls. So I think there's going to be some discussion on the two different aesthetic versions. But definitely, if you have comments and questions, that's where I send that email. We start to pass those along.
So I didn't notice that the rendering said job center on it. Is that going to stay, or is that?
I'm not sure if it's going to be job center or human services. I do have that question. That was one of my comments this morning.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
Do we have, or are we going to see, you know, I guess, can you explain how this is going to be contracted and built? First of all, my first question is, who's on the committee for design, for determining the design of the project, the usefulness, the operations?
So right now it's John Jansen and his team at the Human Services, so all the directors of each one of the components. There is Frank and Matt and myself as far as the mechanics and the exterior site plan stuff, which is still not quite there. They're doing some modifications to that right now, trying to work on some of the city requirements upon their meeting they had with the city. We don't have the site plan quite there yet. I'm hoping to get that this week so I can share that as well. And then it'll go once we near completion this, I'm assuming John's going to have to take it through his committees, if he has those, to take that final staff approval of it. That is how I envelope it. As far as how the project gets built, I might have to defer to Jim to know more about that contract through
Bear. I'm just wondering how it's all set up here. So there's a design component of it that's going on right now, and there's an architect. Is that architect hired by us, or is it hired by the developer?
Us.
Okay. So that once we get the architectural plans done to a certain point, then we hand them over to the developer and say, build this for us? Or how does that, or do you bid it out, or how does it work?
In January or February, those plans will be done enough to bid. Okay, and then there's a bidding period of, maybe a month or so, however long that takes. But in the meantime, Bear is going to start destructing what's there. There's a demo component. They'll start that on their own before. Okay. And then it'll be bid, and construction should start on that building probably second quarter, maybe the end of the first quarter. And it'll take 14 to 16 months maybe to do until the end of, for the end of the second quarter, the third quarter of 2024. Construction will be done, and we'll move in. At that point in time, we will have received the $10 million, assuming we spent it, which we certainly should have by that point in time, because we have to spend the money, or they have to spend the money, and we get before we can get the money back. And then we will lease that building for 5 years, from third quarter 24 to the third quarter of 29, at which point in time we'll buy the new facility from Bear. Then when we move out of that building, though, in 2024, Bear will buy the old building from us for $1.6 million.
Okay.
Bear, if I could add to Bear, will be carrying the cost for the improvements to the entire plaza and how traffic flows in, what buildings, what businesses are located there, so that it has more of an upscale look and appeal, as well as the parking lot. That's how they explained it to us.
Nothing in our current situation will hold that up then either.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's pretty much been the schedule since the beginning of of this year.
It's all funded.
So we won't know what the actual cost of the building is until you go out for bids in the bidding period,
right,
in the first quarter,
right,
the second quarter of 2024. Is there an estimate right now? Is it public knowledge as to what the estimate is, or are you guys holding that?
No, it's in the contracts.
Yeah, it's in all the contracts and the agreements, the approval at the beginning of the year from county board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the all the grant applications for the $10 million grant we got. If you haven't seen it, I'd be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm just curious as to what, when you actually go to market, how it compares to what the estimate is. So really it's not of great significance until we understand what the market says that the value of the building is, or the construction.
Okay. Chairman, anything else to add? Good. Any other questions on that portion? I'm going to hand it back to Sean.
That's all I have for human services. So I will keep everyone in the loop as they progress.
Anything else on your plate that you wanted to embark upon us?
We are looking at, and Frank is helping me through emergency plans, so we are starting an emergency plan document for KCC that we are going to be kind of finalizing over the next couple of months as they relate to tornado awareness, weather awareness, that kind of items.
Shelter in place or emergency evacuation.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's something that we probably have in most of our buildings.
Correct.
We don't have
any. We're getting it updated. Some of our public, what we've noticed, our public bathrooms that act as a tornado shelter are not signed. So if the doors are open, that people can stop out here to be able to find a place to go. Realize this was kind of something we should look at upon the tornado warnings we had in driving by, heard the sirens, stopped here to find shelter. So sending them the way to go if people are in their shelter areas.
Are we like a cooling center too in the summer? We're an official cooling center?
My understanding is we are. And the heat shelter?
We do it at the job center as well.
Okay. So does someone have to come, I won't say the dead of the night, but do we have to keep it open longer than the normal time?
We'll modify the doors. They're electronic, so we can put a schedule in there to change those. And then the HVAC system can be scheduled as well.
Okay. But we wouldn't have anyone physically located here after hours?
We don't have any second shelters here typically, but the job center does.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of highway guys.
Yeah, there is
highway. There's always somebody down on the highway.
Yeah, it always seems like there's somebody out.
Yeah.
At least the sheriffs do, don't they stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, sure. That's it. We were talking, if we're going to have a meeting next month, it couldn't be on that Monday because it would be the 26th. So should we have a meeting next month, it'd be on the 19th? We'll review whether we're going to need one or not.
In December,
yes. Right now, it would be the 19th if we're going to have it. So I know not everyone can make that because usually it's a fourth Monday.
Well, if we don't, everybody have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Any other matters that can appropriate?
Yes. When is the county board Christmas party?
The 20th.
The 24th. Got to respond to that.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
You can have a meeting at Christmas party.
Yeah.
We can run it.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion to adjourn in a second. Any discussion? New governance?
Aye.
Yes? No. Yes.